Christina broke it with emotions. Probably could use a little bit of brokenness with emotions. If you have a Bible, turn to Job. Doesn't this sound like fun? Job. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job 14, 5. Let's hear all those iPhones pages turning. Not sure which translation you have. This is in the NLT. You have decided the length of our days, and you know how many months we will live. And we are not given a minute longer. Right, Henry? Some of your translations probably say, you have numbered my days. So I'm not sure what you think of modern-day prophets, prophecy. But God's still speaking, okay? I'll just simplify this as much as possible. God is still speaking today, and he's speaking through people because he has a lot to say. He's not frustrated because he can't speak directly to you, because he can speak directly to you, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us. He can speak directly to us. And God is speaking all the time. We've got a little bit weirded out by Thus Saith the Lord over the last 30 years, but prophets, prophetic words, God's prophetic word is alive and well. So there have been three modern day prophets who've had a tremendous impact on the body of Christ over the last 25 years or so. Bob Jones, John Paul Jackson, and Paul Kane have all had a huge impact on the church. Each one of those guys has died. Bob Jones died in 2014, John Paul Jackson in 2015, and Paul King died this last year. All of them prophetic voices for the church. All of them were buried on February 22nd of those years. So when it says, you've decided the length of our lives, this is no coincidence that all three of these prophetic guys have passed away in February, and they're all buried on the same day. What's interesting is, if you go back 500 years, Martin Luther, who was the greatest reformer in the church, was also buried on February 22nd. So, prophetically, you can look at this as like, if God has numbered their days, he knows exactly what day everyone is born and dies. He orchestrates a lot of things that we don't realize he's orchestrating. One of them, I think, has been these guys all being buried, Martin Luther, John Paul Jackson, Paul Kane, and Bob Jones, on February 22nd. So when I found that out and heard that, my immediate thought was, the Lord is sowing into, he's sowing those people who are his into the earth. And the only reason you sow seeds is for what? Because you want something to spring up. Martin Luther and those three prophetic voices have all been sown into the earth all on the same day. That's no coincidence. You can't make that stuff up. And so next Saturday is 2/22. And we're going to gather together over at the gazebo in front of the Hotel Monticello in the Ari Long in the Circle. We're going to gather there at 2 o'clock on 2/22, and hopefully at 2/22, something phenomenal will happen in our city. We're just praying that God will raise up something in our city. If seeds have been planted, if seeds of revival have been planted, we're praying that they spring up. We're not trying to make God do anything. In fact, most of the things that we try to do are to try to entice God to come and bless our events. This is really different, I think. This is like God has ordained a time when he's going to be at the Civic Center, and he's calling us to join him there. There's a big difference between asking him to bless our stuff and us showing up for his stuff. I really think something phenomenal is going to happen. So we're going to gather, and there's other people from other churches that are going to gather with us. What's interesting is the weather's a big deal if you're doing stuff outside. So I looked at the weather report, and the weather report literally on next Saturday, it's going to rain, but not until 3. So we're going to meet from 2 to 3. That's what time we had planned before this was ever, because that's just the warmest part of the day. So we're going to gather there. I invite you all to come. If you have a guitar, bring a guitar, because we'll have song sheets, and we're all going to play through this song, God of Revival, that we played, I think, last week, a little bit of a clip of it. So we're just going to worship and ask God to spring up in our community. Anyway, that's what 222 is. And there's little cards. Take a bunch of them and give them to your friends, especially the ones who love Jesus, and invite them to come with us on this journey. So today's going to be a little different. Oh, one other thing. We still don't have a volunteer coordinator for Family Promise. So I am the interim volunteer coordinator. Just to let you know that this is real, I text the people that were on the list that have done it in the past, and in the fall they've done it. I texted them and asked those people, no new people, if they would volunteer for March 1st through the 8th. In 10 minutes, the whole week was filled. In 10 minutes. Yeah. It's people's hearts are waking up to the needs in our community, and I think we're a big part of that. I don't think we should be shy ever about what God wants to do in us and through us. And that's what we're going to do today. This is going to be really different today. This is just a family. This is like being in the living room with the family. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start out by just getting to know each other a little bit. And so I've made a list of 5 questions. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to ask somebody else to answer a question. So you can pick anybody in the room that you want. And some of the young guys are in here too. And they can ask you a question too. Or you can ask one of them a question too. And all you have to do is raise your hand. And Rafina, mobile mic, come on up here. She's going to, because I've been doing this too long to be running around this place like I used to. So she's going to go. If you raise your hand and you want to ask somebody else a question, it's not you to answer the question. You're going to ask somebody else's question. Just say the number of the question, and I'll read it, and that'll give, as Rafina goes over to that person, like, who wants to go first? Who wants to ask somebody first? I'll just show you how this works. Lisa wants to ask.
Jacob.
Which question?
I want to ask Jacob number 2.
Jacob number 2. So obviously you can refuse to answer, but it's going to be so much pressure if you do that. So head on over there. Jacob. So start thinking of somebody you want to ask a question of. You can ask anybody in the room.
What is the most frustrating thing to you about being a Jesus follower?
You can just hand him the mic. Or you can hold it. Control freak. Go ahead, Jacob. What's the most frustrating thing?
I don't know.
Speaking into mics?
Yep.
Speaking into mic? Right.
Do you get frustrated with anything about following Jesus? No. You're a perfectly happy guy. So there you go, Lisa. Somebody else, raise your hand if you want to ask somebody a question. Jerry over here.
You got my steps.
Actually, you know what? We could just, you could yell that part out and she can go to the person that's going to answer. Who do you want to ask a question of?
Mr. Pingle.
Which one?
Ron Pingle.
Ron Pingle.
When did you become a Christian and what was your conversion and experience like?
Cool. Right over here, Rafina. Ron, raise your hand.
Like these things. I became a Christian in 71, and
wow.
And Well, I couldn't go through the whole thing, but it was a great thing. I enjoyed knowing Jesus, and it took a little while to get with her because I couldn't keep up with her. You know how she is. And so that's about it.
Okay.
I've been here sitting next to him for 60 years.
Now you're translating for him.
61. And I know how he got saved. He got really, really sick. He got pneumonia. And I'd been a Christian for a year hiding it. And well, I had a lot of garbage. But anyway.
This is like a love story. But
this is true. This is what he said to me. And I love it. Because when I wanted to get him saved, you know, and all this stuff, the Lord told me, shh. And he took me to the scripture, your quiet, pure behavior is what may win him. So for a whole year, wow. I had to be quiet. And
there's a miracle.
He got really sick, and he was down in bed. We lived up on Beverly Heights so long ago. And he says, Joan, come down here. So I went down there, and I says, what's the matter? Well, he got pneumonia, and he thought he was going to die. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And I'm going, and I said, well, I don't know, but this is what I did. And we prayed, and he was in church the next Sunday.
And it took.
And, but for 60, you know what, let's see, that was 71. So how many years?
49.
Yeah, mine's 50 this year, his is 49.
That's awesome.
Walking with God.
Okay, who's got a question? Raise your hand. Miranda, who do you want to ask the question to and what number?
Christina and 5.
Number 5, Christina.
Yeah, but first I want to say thanks for sharing your heart this morning. I think like one of the hardest things to do is like share your true self and like be open and vulnerable in front of people. And that was really cool to hear your story. And so thank you for sharing it because you have a beautiful heart. But what do you think your personality brings to the mix at Evangel?
Talk to me about being open and vulnerable. She's on her way.
I'm not right.
I don't know. A lot of different personality. I mean, I've got a big old crowd of kids usually and kind of craziness, and I've got a unique background and I have a lot of experience as a Christian and different type of, I guess I worked at a ministry forever, and so I have a lot to bring, I guess, in experience, and I'm fun sometimes, I think.
Oh yeah, you're fun.
Oh yeah. There, that's it, okay.
Anybody have a question for one of the kids? Kevin? For Elijah. Four. Over here. Number 4, Elijah.
What scares you the most about sharing your faith with a friend?
I don't know, like him thinking, like, I don't know, that it's weird or something. Yeah, that he thinks I'm, like, crazy or something. I don't know.
They might think you're crazy. Yeah, that's good. Who else got a question? Anyone?
Yes.
Cindy, for who?
Dave.
For Dave?
Yeah.
Son, you're going to ask your son-in-law a question.
Yeah.
Okay. What's number?
Number 2.
Kay. Number 2.
What's the most frustrating thing about you being a Jesus follower?
Yeah. Your mother-in-law. Probably my own feelings of inadequacy or inconsistencies in my walk when you're preaching out of John 15 or whatever, instead of just abiding, I get on myself about not doing good enough, and I'm not doing it right, or whatever, when that's frustrating to me. Why can't I just do it the way I know it's supposed to be done? I just read it. I need to just abide.
Yeah.
So that's frustrating.
Yeah.
When I get in the way of me being me. Does that make sense?
When you figure that out, could you teach a class on it?
We'll do.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Who has a question?
Come on, guys.
Oh, Jess answered the same question. She's your mom. You can't say no. What's your most frustrating part of being a Jesus follower?
My mother. No. Stacey.
She's popular.
Oh, my gosh. So many things. No. Other Christians? No.
That's honest.
No, but like, I guess seeing people in the world that aren't Jesus followers being more Christ-like than sometimes your Christian friends, maybe.
Yeah.
Does that being more empathetic and having more of a, that's probably the most frustrating thing to me. But I'm also right there doing the same exact thing as a Christ follower. So it's just the human condition, right?
Yeah.
So that's it.
That's awesome. Good answer. Patrick, who do you want to ask a question of? Adam. Adam, over here. Rafina.
What does your particular personality bring to the mix at Evangel?
All right. So I was just looking up the different definitions of different personalities on my phone because I had a feeling.
We're not talking about personality disorders. We're talking about personality.
So, you know, the only thing I could say is when I walked into this building, I didn't know what to expect. But I met a bunch of praying, God-fearing, God-loving people. And, you know, God gave me a word the other day when I was praying, and he said, it's not that there's a lack of vision, but there's a lack of action. He said, so here you go. Jump in. So I think action and willingness, faithfulness to jump out and to, you know, get it going.
Yeah. Amen? And there's a difference between that and performance, right?
Oh, yeah. No. I don't want to do it. Believe me, I'm shaking right now. But you know what? I got faith. He's leading me. It's
That's
his
good.
Will. It's not my own. Amen?
Good. Who else has a question of somebody? Who do you want to know? What do you want to know what they think? Anybody?
Jody, how do you approach spending time in the Word?
No one else is going to do it. Come on. Go with the program.
Number one.
Yeah. Well, you sounded good today singing. let's see. I have to always spend time with Jesus first because that, I don't know, that's what sets the sets my heart right. And I just love spending time with Jesus. And so then I go from just sitting before him, and then I go to praying for people, and then I go to the Word. And when I go to the Word, I've been reading three different areas. Like, I'm reading Genesis, I'm reading out of Romans, and then I'm going back and forth with Revelations. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's like, it's just like, I just start reading. I'm not a steady person. I just start reading, like I'm reading Genesis. I'm just reading about Jacob and Esau. And I'm just amazed at how Jesus and the love of God just comes up every time you read the Word. And so that's how I do it. I just, you know, I'm kind of a skip around reader. I'll read an Old Testament, like the whole chapter, but when it comes to the New Testament, you know, I'll always try to go into the Gospel a little bit, go to Revelations a little bit, and then go into Romans and other books of the Bible. But I don't know, I'm not really that great of a studier.
Wow.
All right, if nobody's going to ask questions, I'm going to start calling people out. I promise.
Patrick wants to ask somebody again.
Lisa Gorenz. Yeah, look at her. Number three.
Okay, when did you become a Christian, and what was your conversion experience like?
Well, I was out there in the world quite a bit. So I was raised in the church, but didn't like the view of God that I had, so I thought he was a lightning bolt judgment guy. So I went out in the world and looked for God in every other place. And I'd had my daughter, and I was reading this secular book on kids, on raising kids, and it said that something about these kids that went to church, they stayed out of trouble the most, because they had groups and organizations that they could go to, and so get them involved in sports or get them into church. And so I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to church. I'm getting my kid in church. And it was probably about a week or so before God really hit me. And I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm a whiteboard, and I am clean. I accept you, and you have the markers, and you just do what you want with me. And it was cool that my daughter, I got to lead her to the Lord about a week later.
Wow.
Well, no, it was about 3 weeks later at the side of her bed in some little youth group that she had said, I think I want Jesus too. So
that's cool. Very cool. Tammy has a question she wants to ask, someone she wants to pick on.
Yes. I want to ask my Fred Meyer missionary friend, number 4, because
who?
I think we have a lot to learn Victoria. From her. Victoria.
Victoria? Number 4.
Thanks, Tommy.
What scares you most about sharing your faith with nothing?
Nothing.
That's right.
Nothing.
She's like Wonder Woman.
Why would I be afraid to share my faith?
That's awesome. Oh, somebody else. Raise your hand if you have a question. Okay, Miranda.
All right, Willie.
Willie.
love you and love being your friend. And I want to ask you, number 1, how do you approach spending time in the Word?
Oh, thank you, Miranda. I spend time in the Word of praying and asking for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of His Word. And also sharing His Word. You know, it's wonderful to feel the Holy Spirit. And it's life-giving, so I can't hold back what I learned. What's been given to me is, you know, doing what Jesus did when he was on earth, spreading the gospel of the kingdom, glorifying God's holy name. Thank you.
Very cool. Somebody else, raise your hand if you have. Yep, Kim, right back here, and then we'll go to Kevin. Kim, who do you want to ask a question of?
Billy,
she's right over here. Waiting. With bated breath. Kim.
Me. Hey, I wanted to know, which one was it? When did you become a Christian? And what was your conversion experience like?
Wait.
Take this. Okay.
I was in jail. I got charged with a crime and had to do a month's time. And I was in jail, and a woman named Corrine Seal at the time.
Whoa!
Who...
We know her.
Yeah, and she passed away in 2012, yeah. She came and was talking to me about Jesus, and she was very boisterous, very outspoken, and very pushy. And I'm in jail, and I'm like, kind of helpless, so I'm like, okay, I accept Jesus. And then she had me, I accepted him, and then she took me, and I got the water baptism, and then I ended up year later getting the water baptism. So bottom line, I was in jail, and she took the the message in the Bible about going to the prisoners to heart. Yeah. So that's, and that was, I was 39 years old. I was just about to turn 40. That was in, that was in August. No, it was in July, June or July. And I turned 40 the next September. So another Christian, she's a very strong Christian.
Yeah.
When she was alive. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was a neat experience. Yeah.
Very cool.
And I have a question for Rafina. Okay, number five. What does your particular personality bring to the mix at Evangel?
That'll teach you, Rafina.
Birds and Crocs. I think I bring a lot of not normalcy, but I'm very I'm very much like myself. Like, I don't care. Well, I kind of do, but like not. So like, I don't feel like I can't be myself. So then I'm really honest. I think sometimes too honest. So, and I bring like fun, I think. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Pretty lit.
Okay.
You have incredible energy.
Yeah. I know. Makes me tired.
All right, Kevin, you're up.
Kevin.
Yeah, it's pretty lit.
Henry.
Uh-oh.
You've been quiet. How about, I was thinking, number two, Henry. What is the most frustrating thing to you about being a Jesus follower?
You have to pick one.
I don't know, the feeling wise, sometimes I feel like there's a lot of expectations about what you're supposed to be as a Christian.
Yeah.
And on that measurement, I'm not quite sure I'm even on the scale. so it causes a little bit of conflict inside because I listen to the drum beat. It is his drum beat, but it doesn't really line up and then cooperate with group enterprises. And it's more solo. It's not solo in the sense that I'm disconnected from the body of Christ, but it is definitely more solo most of the time. And I think one of the interpretations I've always walked in that allows me the freedom is that I'm a roamer and a connector for his cause on earth. I don't lay any trips on anybody ever, for the most part. I pretty much accept you as you are, wherever that is. I'm okay with that. And it's easy for me to appreciate you without having to be something or line up with anything that I think that you should line up with. Because it's not about lining up with me. It's about lining up with the Messiah, Yeshua, and the Word. So it's not my responsibility to work that out for them. They get to do that if they choose to for themselves. And that's it.
Very good. Very good. Okay, we're going to switch gears because we need a little bit more time for some other things. Who's been at Evangel less than a year? Raise your hand.
Together.
You can raise your hand multiple times. Who's been here for less than... Who's been here 5 years? 10? Who's been here 10 years? Or more? Or less? Who's been here from the beginning? That's crazy. Did you raise your hand?
No.
You're just now coming around. This is what we're going to do. I've been working on this for a while. And it's a work in progress, this whole evangelist story thing. Just because it's been 29 years that we've been going since a congregation. We planted the church. In fact, we started February 11th. This was 2 weeks prior. We were at Shekinah, and Roger called us up and said, we're going to ordain Jeff, and they're going to start a church in 2 weeks. Anybody who wants to go can go with him. That was weird. That was pretty weird. And, oh, I have one really good picture, too. Look at that. Do you like the hair?
We all had hair like that.
What do you... It's like you're snuggling up next to a poodle, though. Let's see if there's one more here. Oh, here's a guy you know. Wayne. And I think there's one of... That's back when you could wear shorts to church. Anyway, so this is what we're going to do. Did I get kicked out? Okay. This is what we're going to do. You've got a chronology of things that have happened at Evangel. If you've been here for a while, pick one of those things out. And I've already told a couple people, so you can already do that. Pick one of those things out, and you describe what it was like to be there at that time. And we'll spend about 15 minutes doing that. So just pick out one of the things. Tammy, over here. And tell them which number it is. That way they can go to it easily. Is it turned off?
Number 28, Summer Sweep. I love that because I love to get outside the four walls of Evangel. So that's when we did like three or four blocks around Evangel. We would go out like 2 p.m. and just canvass the area. We got to see parts of the neighborhood we'd never seen before and just reach out to the people there. And so I did this with my sister. She goes to New Hope, so that made it a double blessing because I got to do it with Kim. And we had the best time just coming into contact with people as they were out in the yards. And I think we gave out garden seeds and bottled waters and everything. And during that time, we gave out some bottled water to a gal that was on the corner over here just past ESS. And she had a stroller and a little baby. And got to know her a little bit. And then she and her daughter started coming to Caring Pregnancy Center. And then we gave them bottled water and everything. And then from there, she and her daughter started coming to Evangel for a while, you know. And I want to believe that we planted seeds into her life and her daughter's life,
Yeah. All
of us here at Evangel. So it was just a really neat, wonderful summer sweep that we did.
Do you remember the winter sweep?
Yeah, in the... Snow.
Can I tell you that one real quick? So, because I have a story on that one. So we went and we gave out spice cider. And is this the one when it was snowing and we had trailers?
We had this date all set up and it snowed that morning.
Yeah. And it was spice ciders and candy canes or whatever. And I was with Carmen White. And see, this did not hit my mentality at the time. That it's 5 p.m. at night. You're going to people's houses that are not expecting you at all, handing out spice cider. And Carmen and I went up to this house. And I kid you not, this guy was naked behind his door. And I just started screaming.
That's outreach at its best.
Yes. I just started screaming, and I said, Carmen, I can't believe it. So it made me think, you just don't know what's happening behind those doors. There you go.
That's funny. I actually picked two in here, 9 and 10. 9 was the night watches. And Jeff has on here, it started at 10 to 3. Actually, it was 10 to 6, because then we would leave.
You couldn't get rid of them.
We'd go over to the pantry
and
have breakfast. And those were some of the, for me, those are some of the most formidable times of actually hearing and learning how to hear the Lord's voice.
What did we do all night long?
We prayed. We worshiped. We had communion off the bread off the street. And, I mean, there were so many stories. Lisa remembers that. there were so many stories and so many times when the Lord just met us during those evenings, during those night watches. And they were for me, they were formidable, but I think for others that went, they were just formidable. Tom Ritterrath was another one that he was always there as well. I mean, it was just learning the Lord's voice, learning what he's doing, seeing some weird stuff, and knowing it's okay, that this is from the Lord. And the other one that is number 10, that's when we started family camps. And so those were some of the most incredible times of just living together for 3 or 4 days in the rain, in the hot. There were some times it was so hot. And the baptisms, how many people have been that we baptized in the river over there in Zion? I mean,
all I remember is
that was family.
Five kids in a tent, pouring down rain, a river of water flowing through the inside of the tent.
Yeah.
And Jody at home in the waterbed. It was awesome. I'm not staying out here. Did you have a question? Oh, I thought you did. Kevin.
So I picked number 12, which is when they moved into the First Christian Church over there by the lake. I remember there was a time, that was when I first started going, and there was a time where we first met in the sanctuary part. And one day Jeff goes, "Who wants to get baptized?" And like all these people just lined up, and he was baptizing people fully clothed, and it was just pretty awesome. It was one thing I will never forget. And then
that's when 5 o'clock at night, and it was freezing out.
We didn't even ask permission; you just did it. And then
no towels. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like the wet T-shirt contest going on.
Yeah,
it's crazy. That was weird.
That was pretty weird.
But so then I remember, because we got kicked out of the sanctuary and we had to meet in the gym after that. So we weren't allowed to go in the sanctuary anymore. It was like no more in the sanctuary.
That was cool. And the fact that we had the first service, we were there, we had candles everywhere because we thought it'd be cool to worship by candlelight. And the pastor from the church was there the first service, and we spilt a candle on a brand new carpet. Yeah, we were real.
But it was so cool because it was so spontaneous. It was like, it was right across the lake, and there was times where we're just like, let's just go have worship over at the lake. So we'd like just walk across the street and set up over there and just hang out and like do just things over right across over there at the lake. And it was really exciting. It was good times.
We were young and stupid.
I got one more. I know, I'm going to hog the mic.
What number?
Number 15, Stirred Up Cafe. I remember when that started, the cafe back here, the Stirred Up Coffee Shop. I think, is the thing still on the wall?
Uh-huh.
The big thing out there, Stirred Up Cafe. That was.
Anybody know who painted it?
Was it Zach? Roland? No? I don't know.
A skinny little kid. Forget his name. Ben.
Ben Dunning?
Ben Dunning, yeah. Ben. He painted it.
Cool. Anyways, yeah, that was craziness, because we would have like just music on Friday night, Saturday nights. I mean, there was like things like Battle of the Bands that went on in here, and it wasn't even like Christian bands, it was secular bands. And bands would be up here dropping F-bombs and all kinds of
crazy. Well, it was on the other side.
It was insane, but it was exciting because it was just like, we were just like, this place was just packed all the time with people, the coffee shop going. It was just, it was good times. It was a lot of stuff going on.
One of my favorite ones was when a guy came in to sing, and he was doing some rap stuff, and he had a boa constrictor around his neck, and the intercessors were on the back wall going, "Shonda, Shonda, Shonda, Shonda." It was awesome. But we also had the Mark Morris prom in here. And that lasted 1 year until the advisors thought they can't possibly like us having it here because it was pretty lewd. And I mean, that was back when senior proms were pushing the limits of all kinds of stuff morality wise. And so anyway, that lasted 1 year, but we did do it 1 year. Somebody else. Miranda, what do you mean?
You haven't even been here that long.
You made one up. Okay, we'll put it down right next time.
Yeah. You missed the whole, like what is it, January? I came in January 2019. So I've been here for about a year now. And when I showed up, I became friends with January 2019 was when Grafina happened. So when Grafina and I became best friends. And a lot of the memories that I have from people here, I mean,
a lot of cool things on Sunday mornings. I was part of the discerner group. That was really fun. But a lot of memories that I have with people are simply outside of the church. So hanging out with like Jeannie and Wayne and Deb and Steve, Jeff, Jody, Rick, Lisa. Monday night Bible study, that's been a highlight. That's been so much fun. So just a lot of cool things. These people, you guys are really amazing people, and I'm glad I came here.
If you ever want free coffee, just invite somebody out to coffee. Right?
Yep.
Tammy.
I will say something about 14 Evangel Outreach. Because we went to Honduras. I think I went like 4 or 5 years. But I think the cool thing with that is that we ended up partnering with Friends of Honduras. And I remember Jeff's brother Mike had gotten kind of stirred up with all of that was going on. And so he would talk to people that he worked with. And we got so many donations to build houses and to put a floor in a church. And we would do fundraisers, and we did these hamburger fundraisers. So we would go to Shekinah, Father's House, and Evangel, and we would just kind of just say donation bases. And we got a lot of generous people. And so it was just fun because I think everybody came together and all the churches had come together to do all that. And then this one particular time, I have to say, Jeff and I went to Costco together to get hamburgers. Well, we were doing 3 churches on one day, so we were planning for 800 hamburgers. So we go to Costco and we got one cart of buns, or we both have carts of buns. And then we had to take them out to the car and get 2 more carts and come back in and get hamburgers, and we got chips. And people were looking at our carts and going, wow, you must know a lot of people. And we're like, oh, yeah, you know, just having to get together. And so it was just fun. But I think it was fun, too, because it wasn't just about us. There was, like, a community thing that happened with it. So,
yeah.
Can I ask somebody a question in regards to
Yeah, sure.
Ricky Bobby, what's your favorite memory of a band?
Ricky Bobby.
What's your favorite memory at Evangel? Like being a part of the last 21 years.
What do you remember about being a part of Evangel, Rick?
I'm pretty old. I don't remember a whole lot. Probably family camp in the early days, and then Tuesday nights when we did that. I don't have a thing with me. I don't know what number it was. Was really fun. It was more of a small group setting, and I taught, lots of people taught that would never cheat. And it was really, it was a pretty long-running thing. I don't remember what.
Rick would wake up in the morning at family camp and start breakfast, and everybody would flock over to their tent. And
well, nobody else was up, and I didn't have anything to do, so.
Yeah. Anybody else? Over here. Tracy? Oh, Jess?
I was 10, so I'm at number 5.
Whoa.
Number 5, Church at the Lake. That was probably, as a child, I remember thinking, whoa, we're outside of the church walls. Like, anybody can come. Like, people are going to drive by, they might stop by, and I just remember how awesome it was. I loved it. It was probably one of my favorite memories as a child, being outside at the lake, worshiping with everybody, and Sean Carter's crazy hair, and you know what I mean? Just like, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. There's a number of these I could talk about, but yeah. Jesus has been alive and well in this place, and I'm feeling really grateful to everybody and my parents and Jeff and Jody and everybody just for everything you've done and given to the community and the people that have gone through here. It's just, it's amazing. I remember, can I do one more?
Okay.
So those nights, what were they called? The night watches? I went to those with my mom that lasted till 3 in the morning. But I really remember feeling and hearing the Holy Spirit for the first time in those. And so that was a really amazing experience as a young child. And I remember one night this was like just about the faith of God and the power of God. We were driving home. It was like 2 or 3 in the morning, flying down West Side Highway. And my mom drives really fast. And there was a ton of fog, and we couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden, we literally drove through a herd of elk. All you could see were elk butts along us. And I knew we'd just been in prayer for hours. The Lord protected us. We should have been like blown to smithereens.
by a herd of elk on West Side Highway, but we weren't. And so I just thought, God, you're really cool and really good at a really young age. And so that's I'm just cool. grateful for all that.
That is awesome. Cool.
Wait, Tracy had it first, right?
Okay.
Because we want to see you run across the room.
I got my Crocs on. Four-wheel drive.
All right, I'm going to do 20 through 23, but I want to go in September of 2005. I came, and I came during a November 2003, which was not. It was October. It was September 2005, week of worship, and I was invited here by a friend, and that's and I haven't left. So I haven't. You're stuck with me. But the citywide Katrina outreach, I know I went out there. I wasn't sure why I was going out there, but I just went out there just because I thought, well, if I'm going to be a part of this group of people that are very kind, I'll go out there. And I was amazed at the people standing up saying, we're going to go, we're going to help Katrina. And that was pretty impressive to me at the time.
18 churches.
I know. It was just like, yeah. But then you go down to, okay, 21, because I was already broken and trying to get restored, I remember 2006 through 2007, and that was hard for the people, and there was a lot of prayer going on in myself for you guys. But then I was a part of you guys, but I wasn't a part of you guys, but I really was a part of you guys. So then in January 2007, the divine experiment happened, and that was amazing. That was like... Go, it was snowing. I knew nobody was going to be there, and I wanted to go there.
5 o'clock in the
5 o'clock in the morning prayer. That was intriguing, and the parking lot was full, completely full. And I walk in, and all these people are already on their faces repenting and worshiping the Lord, and this is before we went to work. And it was just, it was like, wow, people are really invested. They really want to seek the Lord.
The whole idea was we spend 30 days in prayer together every morning as a city and see what God would do.
Yeah, it was great. And from that birthed Tri-Hop, which was just on my heart and poured in 10 years of amazing time. So,
two more. Monique. Yes.
Well... Since June 2019.
You're almost at your one-year anniversary.
Yeah, almost. I just would like to say since June 2019, the love, the acceptance, the embrace as being a family member here, it humbles my heart every day. And I thank everyone. Just every time, from the first time I walked through the door that evening, when the speakers were here, Jerry and the, I forgot their names, but they, when I was missing my family and culture, and I come in the door, and they're talking about where I was from, and about the culture of the eating of the goats, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and I mean, it just couldn't have been a better day for me to have
came. It
was
a beautiful night.
Yes, yeah. And since then, I've just loved being here with all of you. I thank you all.
That's cool.
And the way that the community is embraced through this church. I just love that.
Two more. It's because somebody has to do it. Don. I can't
say I'm
which
going,
number?
Number three, Church of Risen Savior. And my first memory, which I mentioned to Jeff earlier, was he had the first cell phone I ever saw that you had to use a backpack to carry it around.
But I couldn't even afford to use it. The minutes were so expensive, I couldn't use it.
But the part that stuck out to me about that was where we joined with another church. We started meeting in evenings, and which Jeff was encouraged us to go to other churches in the morning, and so it changed everything to give me community-minded as far as, you know, embracing other bodies. And then also,
cool.
That was during the time when we were told to memorize John 17, which was really about unity.
Yeah.
So it really changed everything for me, that meeting in the evening and the community-minded of churches.
That's cool. One more. Josiah. I love it.
It's not real spiritual, but it's the first day. I remember the first at the Longshore Hall. Isn't that where it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was a pop machine, and like we, I remember when I was like, I was probably 10, 9 or something, but we went from Shekinah, where you'd be running around, you'd be all sweaty, and then there was kind of like an excitement, and we would have to put all the chairs away and everything, get it all tidied up. And it
smelled like beer from the night before.
Yeah. And I just remember that, you know, like the elders, there just was like an excitement, you know, at church to go. It was exciting to go and just have fond memories of being a kid.
That's cool. Okay, I have an ulterior motive for some of this. One of them is, if you have one of these sheets, take it home, and if you know some things that happen, because this is just me and what I can remember from news notes that we've done in the past. It's really hard. I have terrible memory. But take it home and fill in some of the stuff, things that you remember, but you have to have at least a month and a year, and just fill it in, and then next year we'll have even more of what, and we'll just continue to put this together. My thought is that at some point somebody's going to care about what happened early in the early days, and yeah. Rufina, sorry, I didn't mean to bark at you.
Yeah, I was in the storeroom looking for some Kleenexes this morning. If somebody wants to jar their memories and they have some old stuff, there is 3 boxes of teachings,
so
cassette tapes, as well as some video, some little video tapes in the storage room.
Yeah.
So if somebody would love to go through that stuff, and I mean, I think there's some probably some nuggets in there that, and it's from the early late 90s, early 2000s. So that's a problem.
You'd have to find a cassette deck.
Someone would have to find a cassette deck.
Yeah.
Oh, Tammy has one.
But dude, take them home and fill it, and then just put them in the slot out there where the giving is. Just stick them in there, and I'll add those to these, and we'll just can kind of keep adding to the story. Because it is a story. It's a 29-year-old story. It's pretty significant. So I'm going to pray, and then kids, if you're here and you want to smack a pinata, it's going to be back in that back corner, and we'll do that. The rest of you can get food. Yes. Thank you for being here today, you guys. Lord, I thank you for family. You told me a while back that revival looks like a healthy family, and I believe it, Lord. And I believe that you're calling us into that. You're calling us into that. It's not that we've arrived at anything, because it's a journey with you, but you've called us to be a family. And so we pray that today just added to that. Today reinforce that and strengthen that. We pray that you would continue to draw us together. We pray that these gatherings on Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings would contribute to that too. You'd create relationships that between us that were significant and that would bear fruit. And we love you, Jesus, and what you've done in our lives. We thank you. One more thing. Miranda and I came up with a evangel wave. It looks like this.
Because, you know, connected to the vine and fruit comes out here. So it's a fruitful wave. But it fits a coffee cup too, yeah.
You guys.